Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Oh, hi, I didn't see you there. Welcome to the show. Before we get started, I urge you to go to our Patreon page at bobseskashow.com right now and sign up for our $10 a month level to get both the Shadow Docket bonus show and our Friday after party shows with me and Kimberly Johnson. Specifically, if you want to hear what it sounds like when I totally lose my schmodoinkle, the after party from Friday, October 8th is the place to be. Again, that's bobseskashow.com or patreon.com/bobseskashow. Choose the after party and Shadow Docket level, enter your information, and you're all set. By the way, there's an app for listening and an RSS feed if you're into those things too. Thanks so much for supporting this podcast. And now let the cartoons begin.
The Bob Seska Show.
Bob Seska.
Nerd!
The Bob Seska Show.
You know, I totally am. But at least I fucking own it. From our nation's capital, it is Thursday, October 14, 2021. And this is the Bob Seska Show on the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. Hi, I'm Bob.
Hello, Bob.
Hello, day 268 of the Biden-Harris administration. 391 days until the 22 midterms. Find me on Instagram at TheBobSeska and on Twitter at BobSeska_go. And here come the Goth Ninjas. We call them the Goth Ninjas. That's their nickname. The collective of Jody Hamilton and David T. Rex Ferguson. Of course, Jody Hamilton is from the From the Bunker podcast, from -the-bunker.com, also at patreon.com/FromTheBunker, and David's music project is Astral Summer. Find it at astralsummer.bandcamp.com. How are you, Jody? Hi.
Hi, I'm good. I'm excited that Mary Trump is going to be on my show in a few weeks.
Oh, that's right. She's... Did David just have an orgasm?
I think he did. I think he did.
Good God.
She's the only woman that makes that happen to me. I'm so...
Control yourself, man.
I'm stuck to the chair now.
That's exciting. In a co-host scenario,
because David is going to be out of town and Sean doesn't know his hours that week. And so, because he's been traveling with work. So I was like, oh my God, who? And so I emailed Mary and she's like, absolutely. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
God. Well,
a couple of years ago, I used to talk about the Chris Lavoie bump. Every time Chris Lavoie had mentioned the show on the Stephanie Miller show, we'd get a huge spike in traffic. Well, now, in addition
like
to
his bicep flexing over the airwaves.
Exactly. Well, now, in addition to the Chris Lavoie bump, you're going to get the Mary Trump bump.
No kidding.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's a real thing. The Mary Trump bump, then you get serious.
I really want to be a guest on that, but I would talk too much. It's your thing.
She'll be back. She'll be back here. So you'll be able to talk to her here. Of course, as always.
She's fantastic. I'm so excited. And my mom is like, oh my God, that's so amazing. So
you should at least get your mom to do a cameo.
She's working right now in New Mexico. I can't tell you on what show. She did learn how to ride a dune buggy.
New Mexico. That'd be...
Your mom is dune buggy in New Mexico.
Is she going to play Saul Goodman's mom on Better Call Saul?
I am not allowed to talk about anything.
Islands are sealed.
But she might be out of work on Monday because of the IATSE strike that's pending. So
IATSE strike.
Yeah.
The IATSE. If the thing she's working on is an IBEW, then it's different because IATSE and IBEW are basically the same types
these
of
are
jobs.
Unions. These are
these
actors
are two
unions?
Different unions.
Yeah.
It's below the line. It's Grips and Electrics mainly. Mm. And but IBEW is another union. And if this particular production is an IBEW set, then she would continue working. But if it's an IATSE set, then
there
they'll
be
shut down.
Well, speaking
I
of,
I just totally pictured Carol in a like gaffer's outfit, like all in black, with smudge on her face, like
yeah.
being like you know
walking.
Talking with, you know, we only got 20 minutes left in the union hours.
Spot welding some scaffolding on the set. Yeah,
you know
yeah.
what's your 20? What's your 20, Burnett? What's your 20?
Hey,
copy that. Copy that.
You know, speaking of guests, a little more than a year ago, I had on this show a comedian named Ben Glebe. It was right here on this on this program. Yeah, Ben Glebe was a great guest. By the way, recommended by Chris Lavoie. So there was the Chris Lavoie bump for comedian Ben
Once
Glebe.
Again.
But Ben Glebe has made his own way in terms of getting some notoriety here. And he deserves all of it. He deserves all the notoriety because he was a guest on Charlie Kirk's show. And they were talking about abortion.
Oh,
have you seen this?
Bloodbath.
It's a great moment. I don't have the audio. You don't need the audio to get the whole gist of it. But
wait, you guys, before you go on with this, it is now just being reported that the January 6th panel has moved to hold Steve Bannon in criminal contempt.
Yes, indeed. I know this. Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Sounds great. We're going to get to all of that here in just a second. We got lots
after
to talk
Ben
about
Glebe.
When it comes to criminal contempt referrals. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
But first.
That was my second orgasm of the show.
I'm sure Ben Glebe is going to be happy to be part of the multiple orgasms on the show. But yeah, he was on with Charlie Kirk and they were debating abortion. And Ben Glebe pulls out a photograph out of this paper bag for some reason. I don't know why he was carrying the photo in a paper bag, but he was. Pulled the photo out, and it's a photo of a fetus, you know, maybe, I don't know, a month long. And he holds up the picture of the fetus and goes, hey, Charlie, is this a human life? Do you consider this to be a human life? And Charlie Kirk, of course, the dumbest fucking man in all of politics, goes, yeah, duh, that is a human being there. That's my Charlie Kirk.
Dolphin.
That sounds nothing like Charlie Kirk. And then Ben Glebe goes, sorry, it's not. It's a dolphin fetus. Uh-huh.
There you go.
Yeah. Should have invited me along to play that sound effect.
How did
after
that? Well, that's a beautiful moment, but what was the whip back like? I mean,
yeah, well, it was.
Surely they cut his mic immediately, right?
Well, no, they were face to face. They were sitting in the same studio together.
Oh,
apparently,
wow.
Charlie Kirk has a set for his show, and they were sitting across from each other, like the Mike Douglas show or something like that. Except Charlie Kirk's a nitwit, and
right.
So when that happened, Charlie Kirk was completely dumbfounded, didn't say a goddamn thing, completely stymied by it, and had this befuddled look on his face. And the video I saw, of course, added the Curb Your Enthusiasm music to that moment.
Man, I hope that's like the Tucker Carlson, Jon Stewart moment. For him, that just has knocks him. I mean, because like they consider him an intellectual.
That's a Tuesday for Charlie Kirk. That happens every goddamn day, David. I mean, every day on Twitter, Charlie Kirk walks right into his same dumb shit propeller every single time. Every tweet is the dumbest tweet that has ever been tweeted. It's like he's deliberately trying to top himself. It's a human being right there. You got a human being right there, Ben Glebe. And it's a fucking dolphin. It's a fucking dolphin, you idiot. Yep.
We need to give Ben Glebe the big brass balls of the year award, like the solid gold, you know, a Rolex with some, you know, like truck nuts on it.
Yeah.
Because that is, that's a moment that I feel like we'll live in infamy.
Well, the ultimate point is you can't tell the difference between a human fetus and a dolphin fetus or many other fetuses. I've seen this experiment done.
Or an elephant fetus or a dog fetus.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a lump of cells with a divergent brainstem.
Yeah, this is the point in time in which it looks like a little shrimp with the big black eye and then this curvy tail thing. And yeah, I mean, it's very amorphous at that point. And it's really difficult to tell. But meantime, we heard this week that COVID is the number one killer of Americans 35 to 54. And this is as of...
Woo, at least I'm almost 55. Whew.
Yeah.
That's 53, but like that's just, I mean, it was senior citizens, remember?
Yeah.
Like it's amazing to me that it has shifted down that low.
Yeah, yeah.
25?
Yeah, 35 to 54. And of course, this the reason I'm bringing this up now, by the way, it's number two overall in terms of all Americans. The number two killer last month was COVID-19. And as I said, the reason I'm bringing this up is because Charlie Kirk tweeted the other day, reject tyranny, catch the hashtag freedom flu. This is the thing that he's trying to get going. He's trying to get the freedom flu going. And yeah, go out and catch COVID.
It's weird. I mean, this has really turned into a Jonestown moment.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah.
In that they are encouraging their followers to disregard critical health and life preservation measures.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Because they think it's going to make us unhappy.
Well, that's the craziest thing I've ever heard is this notion that the Democrats, liberals, are tricking red hats into not getting vaccinated so that they'll all die. To actually write a piece about that in Breitbart indicates that, hey, look at me. I'm a dumb shit. I'm easily led by liberals doing the rabbit season, duck season trick.
Right.
To the point where we're killing ourselves. That's how stupid we are.
But Breitbart's whole point, I mean, the whole reason it's there is just pure, like, 180-degree truth bombing.
Yeah.
Like, our truth torpedoing. Mm-hmm. I mean, you take any topic and there's an obvious right answer and a wrong answer, like, say, Milo Yiannopoulos.
Mm-hmm.
And they will find a way to argue for the wrong answer. It's just part of their, like, I'm on the Empire side. This is Star Wars. I have no emotional life.
Yes, indeed. It's just we're beyond the point of calling it stupid. It's, you know, it's suicide is what it is. It's suicide by ideology. It's suicide by cult.
A friend of mine asked me, he was like, do you feel like people have a death wish enough that they really don't care what happens to them and they're not doing any of the preventative measures because they just could give up at any time and just die?
Mm-hmm.
That was a completely alien concept to me. But the more I think about the way some Republicans and people who were, you know, anti-vaxxers, and I mean, because I died for 30 seconds. It wasn't unpleasant, but it sure was dark.
Mm-hmm.
And I may not have been out long enough. It's only a minute and a half.
Yeah.
You know, for the light show to get kicked in, your brain death starts at like 3 minutes or something.
Right.
But I'm still, if my life is in danger, I'm going to do everything in my fucking power to stay the fuck alive, because it nearly got snatched away from me. And you realize in that moment I didn't know what was happening as I died. But when I woke up, I realized that I had just nearly lost everything.
Mm-hmm.
But right. The problem with young people getting COVID is that many of them do not die, but they get permanent brain damage. Mm-hmm. They lose their sense of smell forever. Mm-hmm. They have hallucinations. They get Parkinson's. I mean, it's nuts.
A friend of mine's long COVID has given her some underlying problems that were probably already there, but COVID has exacerbated them.
Yeah.
And so now she's got all these other problems that she may not have ever gotten had she not gotten COVID for the last year.
Mm-hmm.
And she's literally on a year of having COVID.
Yeah, yeah. And that's something that the long-term symptoms are something that people like Joe Rogan will never talk about on their show. They will never circle back to that. They will never say, Joe Rogan will never say that he's, you know, maybe impotent because of the effects of COVID, for example. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because there's an arrogance that occurs, especially among people who are shirkers and who ended up getting COVID at some point. Mm-hmm. Like Joe Rogan had COVID a few weeks ago and was treated for it and so on, which means that he probably had some symptoms and wasn't asymptomatic. These guys, what they do is once they get COVID, they're like, see, it wasn't that bad. So the idea is, why not go out and get the hashtag freedom flu to reject tyranny, because after all, it's not that bad an illness. But they will never, ever say, they will never follow it up by saying, you know what, I've got early onset dementia because of having COVID at one point, or whatever the long-term side effect ends up being.
We'll know.
Because it's not so much...
We'll know, and we'll be able to use that against Joe Rogan in years to come.
Well, we may not know. I don't know how we would know what Joe Rogan's medical condition was. I guess maybe just by judging his performance or something like that, but we'll never know.
Just listening to him talk. But like I say, we can say when he gets particularly horrible in whatever next cycle, we can be like, well, you know, the old man's brain ain't been the same since he had the vid. Yeah.
Well, it's the shell game that they play all the time. Donald Trump is playing this shell game every single time he steps up in front of a microphone. In fact, this past weekend during his Iowa rally, he was talking about the Cyber Ninjas report and about how the Cyber Ninjas report showed that he actually did win Arizona, when in fact the Cyber Ninjas report showed the opposite. It showed that not only did Joe Biden still win in Arizona, but Joe Biden picked up 360 additional votes. What Donald Trump does, what Donald Trump's shell game was in that context, was look at that table deep within the report showing that whatever it was, 25,000 people had a different address than when they voted, right? Or they moved and the address was wrong on their ballot. 24,000 people. Look at that. That means I get 24,000 more votes, which is not true. Those votes are probably split 50-50 or maybe 51-49 between Trump and Biden. That's what he'll never say that. But what people hear is, 24,000. Here's another example of the shell game. The Democrats are weak and wimpy because there hasn't been a criminal contempt referral yet. The Democrats aren't being tough enough against the insurrectionists. The Democrats aren't jailing the people who are shirking their subpoenas. And what happens is that idea metastasizes on social media and people begin to believe it, even though in some cases it's coming from ex-Republicans who for 20, 30 years, it was their whole thing to go, yeah, look at those weak and feckless liberals. You know, the whole demonization, the bastardization of the word liberal that was going on, that's been going on for the last 50 years plus. So
I kind of liken their conversion to progressivism to like baby boomer dudes that I worked with that were like, okay, you're here, you're gay, at least you're a white man, but like it's ooky. You know, and it's like they just can't help but revert to
right. Well, it's
programming.
The attack on the word liberal is all about some level of latent or obvious homophobia and misogyny from the Republicans. And ultimately, my point is that what happens when that message has been spread around recently, certainly in the context of the 1-6 committee and so on, and it's like, oh well, the Democrats aren't being tough enough. Well, if you actually do the research, rather than listening to the GOP memes on Twitter, you'd find out that the Democrats have issued twice as many criminal contempt referrals in the last 20 years than the Republicans have.
Yep.
And that includes investigations into Benghazi and all the other ridiculous Fast and Furious and the rest of it. I think the Democrats have issued four criminal contempt referrals from the full House. The Republicans got, I want to say, Lois Lerner and Eric Holder with criminal contempt referrals to DOJ. The Democrats got Harriet Myers, Josh Bolten, both Bush administration officials. This is back in the late 2000s after the Democrats retook the House in 2006. And then they got Bill Barr and Wilbur Ross in 2019 on contempt of Congress. Passed the referral on to Bill Barr's Justice Department. Of course, Bill Barr's not going to investigate himself for criminal contempt, so it went nowhere ultimately, but that wasn't the fault of the Democrats. On top of the fact that the Democrats impeached a sitting president not once, but twice, and not over the span of an entire two terms or something like that, twice in the same year, for God's sake, in the same 1-year span.
I just, for once in my life, I'm going to slightly echo the people we call Do Something Twitter, which always reminds me a little bit.
Oh, Do Something Twitter. Yes, thank you. Yeah,
that's Daddy, a good way to put it. Do something in the land of the lost. Yeah. I do feel like if this had happened, say, in Louisiana, and a Republican governor had refused to cede office and had sown doubt about their election results and then had militias come and attack the state legislature and try to prevent his, you know, clinging to power, all of those people would be in jail.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, mm-hmm. the federal prison, they would be sitting there right now, unable to communicate with each other, unable to fundraise, unable to continue to sow misinformation into the discourse. Mm-hmm. And this is why I feel and identify with the people who are like, this is taking too long. Yeah. This is taking too long. Every minute they are out there fomenting their shit and spreading lies means fewer people vaccinated, more people dying, more instability for the government. And I feel like the Democrats are so afraid to appear evil that they want to, you know, politely. I mean, I really hope that Steve Bannon is behind bars by this weekend.
But well, I think we should calibrate our expectations, though. I think there is this expectation that someone shirks a subpoena and someone from the House Democratic Caucus is going to go up to that person, grab them by the scruff, and toss them into some prison that doesn't exist anymore inside the Capitol building. It's not a thing anymore. I mean, yeah, I guess Kimberly tweeted this a few minutes ago. You know, we all want things to work out like a Law and Order episode where everything is wrapped up nicely within the course of an hour. But due process and the rule of law takes a little bit longer. And what you really don't want to do is you really don't want to investigate something that will appear illegitimate to the general public, to voters. That's not a smart idea. Because then you're Newt Gingrich in 1998 and a huge backlash in the midterms where he ends up losing seats because of his zeal. And that can be a problem. But this is the shell game that this is a shell game on the left that I'm talking about. I had a conversation with a friend of mine on Twitter this afternoon, and he was telling me, well, you know, the Benghazi hearing started within 3 months of Benghazi. Mm-hmm. Why aren't the Democrats doing the same goddamn thing? It's now been how many months since the insurrection? And I said, you're falling victim to the shell game. Mm-hmm. You're not seeing what's actually happening. The Senate, at least three committees, have been investigating Donald Trump and the insurrection, all in the context of this power grab that was attempted during the transition, since February. These investigations started in February, mm-hmm. which is the truth, which is what's been happening. There have been at least two or three reports, preliminary reports, issued by the Democrats on these committees, on the Senate side.
And there was nothing to find with Benghazi. There was no research that had to be done. It was a nothing burger.
Right.
And it takes no time to research a nothing burger, mm-hmm. whereas you go, I mean, there is a glut of audio-visual evidence to go through. I mean, I'm sorry, I wasn't trying to interrupt you. I was just going to say that, like, we don't have to put Steve Bannon in prison, but a 5 a.m. raid on his yacht or whatever.
With
him, you know, getting frog rot, you know, standing there in his underwear.
Well, this is something that
that's
this
all
is,
I want.
We have to wait for it. We have to be patient and wait for it. And I understand. Look, I'm right there with you. I'm all for the idea of making sure the process is as swift as possible, but our expectations cannot exceed what is actually feasible within the rules, within the process that Congress follows these days. It just doesn't, we don't do this thing. I don't know how it got started.
This whole idea
that the sergeant of arms can go up to someone and toss them into some unknown prison in the Capitol building. I don't see that as ever being a thing, at least in modern history, maybe 100 years ago.
Well, wasn't McDougal, wasn't she arrested and thrown in jail for not testifying on the Clinton thing?
Judith
well,
Miller.
Maybe in the 90s, yeah.
Judith Miller in federal prison.
Yeah, I mean, they don't have to put him in the jail that used to be below the Capitol. They can put him in a D.C. jail. I don't see why not.
Yeah, I think, I'm about 80% certain that it wasn't Congress that threw Susan McDougal in jail. I think it was a federal judge somewhere. I don't know if it was in D.C. or if it was in Arkansas or someplace else, but I think I'm pretty sure it was a federal judge. I'm not 100% on that, so you can fact check me, but I definitely don't think it was Congress. So this brings us, of course, to the breaking news today involving Steve Bannon, who's about to go through some shit. And again, I think if this process plays out like it has in the past, what happens is the committee, in this case, the 1-6 committee, passes a criminal contempt referral, and that goes to the House floor. Then there's a vote on the House floor. And then if you get a majority of House members voting yes on the criminal contempt referral, then it goes to the Department of Justice, and the Department of Justice makes the decision at that point. And usually in these sorts of executive privilege cases, usually if Steve Bannon were still a sitting member of the Trump administration and Trump were still president, they would not file charges because Steve Bannon's excuse has something to do with executive privilege in the Department of Justice. Usually doesn't.
But he wasn't a White House employee on that day.
No.
But executive privilege doesn't matter anymore because Trump isn't president. Steve Bannon isn't working in the White House. So the only executive they need to get permission from is Joe Biden. So what will happen is DOJ will call up the White House counsel and say, do you guys want to issue executive privilege on this Steve Bannon testimony? And the current White House counsel, whose name I forget, will probably go, no, we're not going to do it.
Joe Biden will roll it up like a newspaper and put some rubber bands on it and send it down there in Major's mouth.
Right. That's the previous guy. The previous guy is no longer president anymore. Thank fucking God.
Yeah.
So it's possible at that point, that's where Steve Bannon is either jailed or there's a pre-dawn raid, or he decides, okay, shit, maybe I should do this now. I'm going to testify. Right. And so at that point, you get your cake and you eat it too, because ultimately you want to hear what Steve Bannon has to say. So either he's going to be compelled to testify or he's going to cave and agree to testify on his own. And if he's compelled to testify and he still refuses, I think that's when he's jailed. I think that's when he ends up going to prison. How sad would that be? Wouldn't it?
Aww.
Yeah, I know. So sad. So, right. So,
but just remember, though, he's got that whole Sebastian Gorka's rules of war.
That's right.
When you are near, appear far. When you are defeated, appear victorious. Do you remember that? Like, he's going to totally be like, I'm having the time of my life at this grand jury hearing.
Right.
You know, because that's their whole sociopathic, like, skin deep vision that they are invincible.
Well, that's kind of how it works, right? They're okay with appearing to, be martyrs. Like with Steve Bannon, he'll be okay going, hey, look, I'm taking one for the team. I refuse to talk to these radical left Democrats.
Michael Cohen went to jail. Steve Bannon, I think prison is like a recurring nightmare for him. Like I think he's soft.
Yeah.
And I think that his loyalty will crumble when it actually comes down to having his, in his pockmarked little, ugh, in a trap. Yeah.
He won't get to wear as many shirts.
That's right. He'll be limited to one shirt.
He's got like Baron Harkonnen's, skin disease or something from the worst Dune movie with Sting in it. Yeah. And that's why he wears all those clothes. It's like to soak up all that, oozing pustules. And
oh my God. Okay. Now I'm nauseous. We could call him Stevie Ray One Shirt. That could be his name though. In prison. That'll be his prison name. Steve Bannon will now become, in federal prison, Stevie Ray One Shirt. Too bad. Too bad, Bannon. One shirt for you. He could actually perform self-fellatio and win some packs of cigarettes in prison.
There you go.
Yeah, that'll be... hey, everyone, gather around. Stevie Ray One Shirt's performing self-fellatio. Holy shit.
I am not a part of this. I am not encouraging any of this dialogue.
I'm just picturing that scene with the Paul Newman movie where he eats all the eggs.
Oh, no. No, see,
what is that movie?
I'm picturing myself after this show sitting here at my desk with my head in my hand going, do I cut this? Do I leave this in? Do I cut it out? What is it nauseating me?
This is the best shit you've gotten in weeks.
Hey, watch it.
You take what I feed you and you.
Now, hey, perfect time to bring in our fine sponsors. Let's take a short break.
And brother, those mirrors show everything.
Back with more show after these words.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
The Bob Seska Show.
Yeah, it's another killer single from Lee Thomas from Melbourne, Australia. LeeThomasMusic.com. This is a song called Take It All The Way. God, I love it. Get it everywhere you get your digital music. It's awesome, right? The chorus is killer. I'm kind of stalling for time to get to the chorus here, the hook of the song, because it's so damn good. Ah, here we go, right? So great.
I'm actually dancing at my mic here.
Yeah.
What a great chorus.
Yeah, it really
is.
Oh,
my God.
Yeah.
That's one of those hair on the back of your neck, like drive a little faster, let the sun stream in kind of choruses.
Oh, yeah.
His voice just rings that melody, too, like bells.
Yeah, right. Of course, Lee Thomas was one of our summer songs. Cheap Cherry Wine was the name of that single that we played on the Summer Music Countdown. It was awesome. Just incredible song. Great summer song. This is another great. I mean, this could have been the song of the summer from Lee Thomas that we played over the summer, because it works there too. All right, bobseska.com/music to submit your songs to the show. Thank you for doing that in advance. And more good news as far as the 1-6 committee goes. Jeffrey Rosen sat for an interview this week with the 1-6 committee. Jeffrey Rosen, of course, was the acting attorney general who Donald Trump tried to strong arm into investigating the election. And thank God, the acting attorney general, Jeffrey Rosen, said, no, we're not going to do it. And then there was a plot to unseat Jeffrey Rosen and replace him with this guy, Jeffrey Clark, who was, you know, in the environmental division, just a much lower level attorney in the DOJ. And he was plotting with Trump to basically stage a coup at the top of the Justice Department. But I mean, there was a whole scam between him and Trump to try to get rid of Jeffrey Rosen. They were going to replace Jeffrey Rosen in like a Saturday Night Massacre and put Clark in there. And then Clark would have greenlit a DOJ investigation into the election. But here's the catch in that plot is they're probably
the White Walkers have stolen a dragon and breached the North Wall. Sorry.
the catch would have been the fact that he didn't really even need to run an investigation. All Trump wanted them to do was to just say they were investigating, just give the patina of an actual investigation, when in fact there was going to be no investigation. Or if there was, it was going to be really cursory and not really dip into anything. Remember, Trump said, leave the rest to me. That was his plan. But, I mean, in terms of Jeffrey Clark has also, I think, been subpoenaed as of right now by the 1-6 committee. So that's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. My guess is Clark, because he was, in fact, plotting with Trump. Clark will probably shirk his subpoena and not appear. Rosen, of course, was more of a victim in all of this. And so I think that's why Rosen agreed to voluntarily appear. When they invited him, he said, yeah, I don't think he was subpoenaed. I don't think Rosen was subpoenaed. I could be wrong on that.
Are we just going to gloss right by that Cash Patel picture?
Oh, the Cash Patel. What are you talking about?
Well, he just looks like he did more speed than the guy in Trainspotting did before the job interview. I mean, his eyes are just like crazy eyes. Even, you know, Rachel Maddow was like, you know, and crazy eyes Cash Patel over here. He doesn't really look like that. We don't know why he took the picture this way.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, it's because he just jammed probably 240 milligram Adderall just straight up his nose without even grinding.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, the thing, I don't think that the popular backlash has met the level of the crime. That insurrection, I mean, they invaded and occupied the U.S. Capitol building. They invaded and occupied Congress, for God's sake. Mm-hmm. I mean, basically what the founders considered to be the government of the United States. And they did this.
If that had been Black Lives Matter with all that shit up in there, there would have been black bodies everywhere. And Trump would still be in power and they would be calling it a terror attack.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And so, again, I say, and I've repeated this over and over again, so forgive me for being repetitious in all of this, but I don't think our system, including how we perceive these things, is capable of addressing these kind of crimes. And I think that's the ultimate danger of Donald Trump. Donald Trump exposing the fact that our system is inadequate when it comes to tamping down the rise of dictatorship here.
No, we'll never know. A spider hole is your fantasy, I know. That's your, like, him being found in, like, a filthy bathrobe from the, like, Four Seasons Hotel. His hair is, like, scraggly and down to his waist and all gray and fallen out. And,
I would much rather Donald Trump not be a martyr. I would much rather Donald Trump have to suffer in some way in prison and just have to endure that level of irrelevance and isolation and inability to bask in the adulation of his fanboys and so on. And so that's
how about daily walks through a public square where he gets pelted with shit and shame.
The Game of Thrones shame thing. Yeah, yeah.
Shame.
Yeah.
I'm sure Hannah Waddingham would love to come back and be part of that. Did you guys see the tape of Donald Trump's short circuit during his rally in Iowa?
No.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I have received, we played this on Tuesday's show, but I have received so much mail about this since then. People just blown away by how fucked up it is. Donald Trump was talking during his rally, and he was talking, of course, about the election and how the election was stolen and yada, yada, yada. And then he tried to compare it to the instant replay rule in professional sports, where they take the tape, they play it back at slower speed, or they zoom in and make sure that
it shows you the same thing.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Make sure that the penalty was on the level. I mean, it's very easy to describe. I'm not even a sports guy, and it's easy for me to describe what the instant replay rule is. But here's Donald Trump trying to describe the instant replay. By the way, credit where credit is due. This comes from Hal Sparks wormed this out of the rally and called attention to it. That's how I know about it. So thank you to Hal Sparks for this piece of awesomeness.
And it's like baseball now and football. They do action replays in magnified fortune. They have magnified tape, and you can see just about everything.
What?
Go back.
I gotta go back.
I need to phoneticize those syllables so I could repeat them later.
Yeah, start with the fact that he calls them action replays, even though they're called instant replays. But yeah, we'll start there.
And it's like baseball now and football. They do action replays in magnified fortune.
Magnified fortune?
Yes, magnified fortune. That's what he said.
Magnified fortune.
Yeah, and on Tuesday's show, I was giving him the benefit of the doubt. I was saying magnified fortune, and Buzz was correcting me, saying, no, it's not magnified fortune. It's magnified fortune. And, of course, the word fortune isn't even a word. I think Buzz kind of presumed that he was trying to say
magnified
fashion.
Isn't really a word either.
Well, magnified isn't a word either, but fortune is nowhere even close to being an actual word. I think Buzz divined that it was supposed to be fashion. Like he was looking for the word fashion.
Well, then he says fashion. He goes, fashion.
Then he calls it fashionable magnified tape. That's the next part.
Fashionable magnified tape.
And you can...
tape.
This is the new EP title for the Astral Summer album, Fashionable Magnified Tape. Fashionably, right?
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm scribbling all this down.
I mean,
Fashionably Magnified Tape.
Yeah. And then it says it's so sad.
You see just about everything. It's a sad thing. I think they have cases where they had the same one 3 times, 4 times, 5 times.
I don't know what the hell he's talking about. It's completely recounts. Indecipherable. Yeah.
That I know. Those are the recounts hitting him like wasps out of the back of his skull.
This is a guy that watches sports, and he cannot describe
sports.
Insta replay. Yeah, he has no sense of what actually happens there. He somehow...
And he, has he not noticed that they the same result is at the end each time? It's not like you watch them four times and on the fourth one, the skier makes it over the jump.
Yeah, no, it's the same action that takes place.
So you lost
in
again.
Magnified fortune. I, you know what? I can't even do it. I can't even say magnified. I want to say magnified.
Yeah.
Magnified.
I can't even magnified. Deliberately get it wrong. Yeah. It's so fucking irritating.
We got to finish. I got to hear the next thing he says.
Oh, that's it. That's it. Magnified fortune and then the fashionable magnified tape. No, it's not tape. It's he goes,
tape.
Tape.
Just play me the whole clip tape. Again.
Okay, here we go.
And they it's like button. Baseball now and football, they do action replays in magnified fortune. They have a fashionable magnified tape.
Tape.
And you can see just about everything. It's a sad thing. I think they have cases.
I mean, he's really into the idea that it's magnified in some way. Like they blow it up and they zoom in.
Just about everything.
Magnified tape.
Even her tatas. Like
he does your like your little kid voice, Jody.
Tape.
Yep, there it is.
It's magnified tape.
Yeah.
Questionable magnified tape. Can I have some, Mommy? I haven't had any magnified tape in a while. I would really like some.
The thing about fashionable, the word fashionable in there, which is the most incomprehensible word. I mean, as far as the actual words in what he said, fashionable seems weird until you figure out that, oh, yeah, he's retconning fortune because he meant to say fashion. Yeah. And so because he said fortune, he's got to reinsert fashion.
They can do instant
back.
Replays where after a fashion, they can... reconstruct what just happened.
Yeah.
I think. But somehow the word friction, fashion, magnification got wedged in there and his dentures and all the syllables came apart again.
All right. Well, so you know what? We're going to take another break right here and now. And then when we come back, I've got some good news. I've got some good news, three items of good news out of the Biden White House. And a little bit of shitty news in there, too, because we can't have nice things without having some sort of shitty news along the way. But the book isn't closed on the shitty news. It's just a temporary bit of shitty news, hopefully not permanent. So we'll get to all of that after a quick break, back after these messages.
You can't always get a clean you can feel good about inside and out unless you're using Bubble Genius bath and body products. See, Bubble Genius is a woman-owned small business proudly creating our vegan-friendly products in America and supporting other U.S. businesses by buying our ingredients and supplies from them as often as possible. Plus, you'll be hard-pressed to find packaging as recyclable as ours. Visit BubbleGenius.com and check out our cause-related items, too, like our global warming soap and a lot more. We donate our proceeds for those items to worthy causes, like organizations combating climate change and mountaintop removal mining. Good stuff like that. We also send our products to the troops overseas through our Buy a Soldier a Shower campaign. Because the least we can do is keep them smiling and smelling great, right? So visit BubbleGenius.com and feel good and clean. Bubble Genius, doing our part to make the world a better place, one bathtub at a time. That's BubbleGenius.com.
Bob Seska.
Amazing cover here from Maria Zimet.
Yep.
This is from her album. You guys.
She's so good.
Yeah, she
just
really is.
Phrasing.
Yeah.
It's just.
Covering Paul McCartney here. Maybe I'm amazed. From On the Road to Love is the name of the album. MariaZemet.com. That's two M's in Zemet, and Maria has a Y in there. So. Link in the description of BobSeska.com, right under this episode. It's easy to find. If you're confused about who's doing what in terms of the music, all you got to do is go to BobSeska.com, find the episode where the song appeared, click on that episode title at BobSeska.com, and then scroll right down, and we got links to everything, including Maria Zemet, an unbelievably amazing voice there. I'm amazed. Maybe I'm amazed. Okay.
I mean, it makes me sad for you guys. I mean, you can sing. Bob, you sing.
If you got a voice, you can sing. Yeah, I remember that old trope. Yeah. Yeah.
But, like, I mean, as a singer, it's listening to it is like watching 3D chess and being a master at it. Like, it's just like I'm saying I'm a master at the 3D chess level of singing, but you just listen to the things that, you know, really, really talented singers have to really struggle with, and she just floats through them like she is in, like, her favorite shoes, dancing over a dance floor in some gauzy dress, and just like effortlessly floating through the song. Like, and I love her. I hate her. I'll never be that good, but I love her.
She's really good. One of the best we have here. And, love to see like a tour with her and, CC Grace. Boy, that'd be a lot of fun too. Because they're kind of cut from the same cloth. Different kinds of voices, but they're both
one of those
breathtaking.
Like, Linda Ronstadt, Dolly Parton, Amy Lou Harris, like trio albums with me and
Of course it's got to involve you, right?
Well, I don't get to sing enough. My voice is not going to last forever. I've got about 20 good years.
All right.
But if I get COVID and get a respirator jammed down between my vocal cords, it's over.
Yeah, be careful, man. Don't do that. That's a bad idea. Speaking of COVID, another Republican mask shirker has tested positive for COVID. Corpse of the week. Now, this isn't actual. It's not a corpse because this person has only tested positive for COVID. Another Republican mask shirker from Alaska. Someone named Laura Reinbold. She's a Republican lawmaker. She was banned from flying Alaska Airlines over a mask mandate.
Yep.
Yeah. And she is now.
I remember her.
She's now tested positive for COVID for refusing to wear a mask. What a shock there. Congratulations. You now have the potential for a lifetime of side effects. All because you got to support your goddamn team. You got to fluff your cult leader, Donald Trump. That's what this is all about. Yep. This is enduring a painful, if not extended, illness for the sake of worshiping at the altar of Donald fucking Trump. That's what I just can't get beyond that. I know I will never get beyond that. Okay, well, let's have some good news. I've got some good news here from the Biden White House. And we always need the good news, right? We have so much bad news these days. Why not work in some good news into the mix?
Here again.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, here's the good news from the Biden White House. Good news item number one, Social Security payouts are increasing by nearly 6%.
That's great.
For the first time in a long, long time, in decades. The first time the Social Security payouts have gone up that high. So that's fucking great news. Great news that will make very little splash. And within maybe a couple of days, people on Social Security will go, why don't we ever get an increase in Social Security? Why isn't Joe Biden giving us more money for Social Security? It's in the news. This is what happens all the time. Things slip down the memory hole every goddamn day. Good news item number two. The Biden administration has reunited 52 families separated by the Trump administration's zero tolerance border policy.
Yay.
More good news. I mean, obviously, there are still migrant children who remain without their parents. Right. But, you know, we're making progress here. 52 families reunited. And good news item number three. The Biden administration announced a plan to develop wind farms along nearly the entire U.S. coastline.
Woohoo!
Also, more good news. The Bureau of Ocean Energy Management will hold up to 7 lease sales by 2025 in the Gulf of Maine, Gulf of Mexico, and off the coasts of California, the Carolinas, and Oregon as part of Biden's pledge to deploy 30, I always want to say gigawatts because of Back to the Future, 30 gigawatts of offshore wind energy by 2030, enough to power 10 million homes. So more good news. Why isn't Joe Biden doing anything for me? Why isn't he doing anything about the climate?
Yell at clouds.
You know, I just had an idea.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
What? And it's kind of because I figured that the bad news coming was going to be that getting Christmas packages out this year was going to be incredibly hard with Louis DeJoy slowing down the postal networks. A lot of retailers are saying, put your orders in now because we do not know when they'll arrive. Mm-hmm. My brother, somebody who knows code should make an app where you're like, I need someone to take this, you know, IKEA flat table to New Jersey. Is anyone going to New Jersey? Or, you know, and you just like, as people travel for the holiday, they make a stop to drop off these people's items so they don't have to go in the mail.
Are you nuts? Are you fucking nuts? You do not mention this sort of thing in public, David, unless you get NDAs from everyone hearing it, because that is like the potential for being $1 million idea. You should actually pursue.
Are you going to edit this out now? No, because I'm too lazy.
I mean, it's, unless you want me to. I mean, I'll keep it in the show. But I'm just saying, you're giving your idea away for free, and that's a killer app.
Well,
right,
I
kind of
wanted it to be like a public thing.
Yeah.
Like you know, there's like little food bank things on the side of the road. Like,
right. Right.
I mean, you could like to get a nominal fee, but you know.
Yeah, I mean, but and also, the pitch is easy. It's Uber for home delivery is what it is. It's a, sort of like the next step from Instacart or something like that, where you get groceries delivered. Well, this is this is like people sharing the delivery burden of packages for the holidays, which, by the way, there's not going to be a Christmas, David, as you know, because
there never is when there's a Democrat in the White House.
Right. But Joe Biden wants to cancel Christmas, which is very non-Christian of you to think
how many Catholics actually do cancel Christmas?
Yeah, I know.
It's a question.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, that's the whole idea. I mean, no matter what happens, there will still be a Christmas. Even if you cancel, even if there's a lockdown or some crazy shit happens, there's still Christmas. It's not like the Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer cartoon where because Rudolph is off searching for the Bumble snow monster and then there's a big snowstorm in the North Pole. Oh, I guess we'll have to cancel Christmas. No, that doesn't work that way. That's not how it happens. I remember growing
Sarah
up.
Sarah Silverman and Linda Dunham are not coming to your house with submachine guns to take away your tree and your presents.
I mean,
you can still have Christmas. Your church can have Christmas. And this is the thing. It's like nobody's telling you not to have Christmas. The freaking shopping malls are going to be looking like somebody like basically drank an entire like red and green cocktail and all the maraschino cherries and then vomited it on an epic scale with reindeer and candy canes.
Yeah.
And like it's Christmas. No one's trying to take it away from you. No one's. When has anyone ever? You know, nobody. Some people do say what.
Happy holidays.
Oh, I thought Jody was like, somebody get him with the tranquilizer dart. He's getting wound up. Time to jigger his meds again.
Yeah, here we go. We're going to need 5 or 6 more.
Remember last week he didn't have coffee and then he had to get coffee?
Or
a couple weeks ago. See, too much coffee, David. Just kidding. No, I say happy holidays until Thanksgiving, and then I say happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And then I continue with happy holidays until Christmas or Hanukkah, and then I say happy Hanukkah, and then I say Merry Christmas, and then happy holidays, and then happy New Year, and then happy birthday because my birthday is January 18th.
There you go. And see, I was raised Catholic, and I went through dealt with many homilies during Mass in which priests would tell us, hey, you know that cartoon you watch about the potential for canceling Christmas because of Rudolph and yada, yada, yada snowstorm? They would beat it into our heads that Christmas cannot be canceled, that Christmas is the commemoration of the birth of Jesus, and no matter what happens, that still is a thing. You can't cancel that. And that's what the Catholic priest telling me every fucking year, telling the entire congregation. And I'm sure they'll be proud that I just used the word fucking right in the midst of saying that.
No, but that's genius, Bob. Not everyone has made that connection. Like, I didn't know where the whole idea for canceling Christmas came from, and it comes from the Rudolph special.
Yes, it does. Exactly right. We're going
like
to have to
deeply ingrained into the boomer mentality that Christmas can be canceled.
Oh, mother, we're gonna have to cancel Christmas. Yeah, that's exactly how it works.
That
and everybody goes,
the source of the contagion. I feel like I found the original tick that carried the COVID to the whatever animal it was that then
yeah,
the human.
Yeah, and then all of us little kids who were watching that in the 1970s were all going, "That can happen? Oh my God! They can cancel Christmas?
The Grinch, what if it, too?
Yeah, it made me think. Oh my God! It's going to be a white Christmas. That means Christmas is going to be canceled because there's snow. And how does the Santa said, the cartoon Santa said that you're going to have to cancel it because he's not going to be able to see. All right. we've careened way off the rails here, I think.
No.
Hey, listeners, if you can do code, if you're smart, if you know, I'm really interested in getting wildly rich, contact me about this gift transport sharing idea, and we'll make this happen. Because it really could be just a people-led, non-commercial, non-corporate, just like, hey, I need to get this package to my grandmother's house in Missouri. Yeah. Is anyone headed that way?
Mm-hmm. We're all on the honor system. Don't anyone steal David's idea. It happened here first.
Or when you're doing it, don't steal the packages that you have been entrusted to deliver.
You got to be bonded. Yeah, that's right, going to have to be a thing. That's like, you know.
Okay, let's get back. One more thing here before we wrap up. Here's the big problem with the Virginia gubernatorial race. This is why.
Terry McAuliffe as a candidate?
Well, no. I mean, the reason it's been. It's not that. The reason it's been narrowing. The reason why, what's his name? Glenn Youngkin. It sounds like a made up name.
Yeah.
The reason why Glenn Youngkin is gaining on Terry McAuliffe.
It actually sounds like that kind of gappy, crappy, gooey stuff you get at the back of your mouth after you eat too much like sugary shit.
Yeah, well, speaking of Christmas specials, sounds like there would be like a Halloween special about Youngkin the pumpkin. It's Glenn Youngkin the pumpkin. And will he save Halloween? I don't know. We'll have to ask Youngkin the pumpkin. I swear to God I'm not stoned right now. So Youngkin, McAuliffe here, and if Youngkin ends up winning, there goes the Virginia firewall in 2024.
Yep.
That's a terrifying prospect because Virginia is becoming bluer and bluer with every presidential election. And what you don't want is a Republican-controlled Virginia. Well, suddenly they're passing all kinds of election laws in Virginia like they did in Georgia and Texas, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And so that's a major problem. And so here we are. Here we are once again, illustrating the consequences of what it means when Democrats potentially lose. And this is why it's very difficult for me to sit here and yank the rug out from under any particular Democrat at this point. It's not because I have some sort of loyalty to the Democratic Party. It's because they're the last thing. They're the guardrail between us and national calamity. Mm-hmm. I can't emphasize that enough. Even just in a gubernatorial race, I think it's the biggest race in this off-year election coming up in November. Which, by the way, just in time. Thank you. Going back to Louis DeJoy. Thank you once again for fucking with the mail right before a big election that involves Virginia. I wonder why the timing worked out the way it did. How could that work out well for Trump and the Republicans? Good God. Why has he not been bounced yet?
I hear that one of the guys that was appointed, his term is coming up and he was appointed by the Democrats, I guess. And he is technically a Democrat, but he votes with the others.
Yes.
And I believe his term is coming up in the next few weeks.
Oh, is it?
And then Biden gets to put somebody else in, I believe. And then that might change things. That's what's been reported on Tom Hartman, is that that's why things have stalled with firing DeJoy. It's this one particular Democrat who just seems to like DeJoy for whatever reason.
Yes.
And his term is coming up, I believe. So hopefully and Biden could fire them, but I think it's better that the term just is up and he's gone.
Yeah, we've talked about that guy on the show before. He's a Democrat, but he's loyal to Louis DeJoy. He likes Louis DeJoy for some reason. Right. And so if that guy's term is...
Does it look like thumbs?
Yeah. If that guy's term is expiring, then that's exceptional news. I mean, absolutely exceptional news, because that means Louis DeJoy is next. If that guy walks out the door, Joe Biden replaces him with someone who wants to get rid of Louis DeJoy, that's the entire ball game. That's I forget the way the voting will end up swinging at that point. But it'll be a majority against DeJoy at that point.
Yes, it would.
So thank God. Hey, more good news.
See?
And I didn't even know. I didn't even know it. I didn't even know that he was on his way out. I was just hoping.
I believe it was like in the next few weeks, maybe the next month and a half, something like that. But it's coming up. If not by the end of the year, it's got to be by the end of this year. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Please correct me if I'm wrong, all of you listeners who are smarter than I.
Shame it's not happening before the November election. No, you know what I mean? Because that's when it's really going to be important. But as long as it happens before 2024, okay. Mm-hmm. Because we don't know what is on the horizon with regard to COVID. We don't know what's on the horizon as far as mail-in voting. And so this has all got to go as smoothly as possible. And if you can control some of those levers of power, as Joe Biden can, especially with regard to the USPS, then he needs to. He needs to do that. Mm-hmm. It's long past time. Louis DeJoy has worn out his welcome, and he was never welcome in the first place. Mm-hmm. Been nothing but a pain in the ass from the very beginning. And
those polyester fibers in Kirsten Sinema's clothes are going to start coming apart any second.
So. Yeah, that's right. By the way, we've got some Kirsten Sinema news coming up on the Shadow Docket show.
Oh, yay.
Some polgasm numbers here, plus a whole lot more. Lots of fun stuff coming up on the Shadow Docket show on our Patreon page. The Shadow Docket used to be called the Postmortem Show. It's our little bonus show when this music is done playing. We keep on talking. Bonus material. So the show isn't even over, except for those of you who are not on our Patreon page. Those of you who are not on our Patreon page, you're missing out on like an extra 20 minutes of show, right? Lots of new ideas.
All the cool kids come to this next party. I mean, really, this was a good party, but the real party starts in the next room.
That's right. That's right. So BobSeskaShow.com. Sign up for $5 a month. $5 a month. That's pennies per show. And you get two postmortem shows. I said it again. Two Shadow Docket shows.
There you go.
I need one of those electric zap collars. That,
like, no, you don't. Collar. You'd find some way to masturbate with.
What are you talking about?
What? Okay.
Shadow Docket show coming up next.
Damn.
I might just end up masturbating with a shock collar, according to David. So we'll see you over there, folks. Bye-bye.